How do you make a radio ad for an 8K TV that conveys the feeling of 33 million pixels with over a billion shades of color hitting your eyeballs? This is the best we can do. Samsung Neo QLED 8K. Unreasonably good.
If you're hearing this song on your phone, in your car, or in aisle 7 of the grocery store, you're not really hearing it. You're not really hearing the hypnotic disco synth as clearly as you could. You're not really feeling the bass line in your chest. And you're certainly not hearing a century of sound innovation. The only way to hear this song the way the artist intended is to hear it on a Denon home speaker. A speaker built with as much craft, dedication, and precision as the music it plays. Which means you won't just hear the song, you'll feel it. Denon Home Wireless Speakers. Crafted by the sound obsessed, for the sound obsessed.
Thank you for tuning in to another episode of The Music Game with your host, Linda Chica, where we discuss all things music. So whether it's dance music to dance hall to soca to rap music, we got all genres covered. So welcome to my podcast, and it's time for some fun, yo.
Okay. Yeah. Yes.
Today's episode of The Music Game is presented by Podgo. Providing podcasters with a flat rate for each ad placed, so you always know how much you're going to get when you include an ad from Podgo. Apply today and become a member, and immediately be connected with advertisers that fit your audience. That's podgo.co at podgo.co. Thank you, Podgo, for your sponsorship of The Music Game with your host, Linda Chica. I'd like to send a special thank you and shout out to this week's sponsor of The Music Game. I am pleased to welcome Santa Maria Restaurant to the list of amazing sponsors of The Music Game. They are located in Brampton at 157 East Drive. And for those of you who have not checked out their menu, let me tell you, their pepper lamb fried rice, bunjal duck, pepper shrimp, how about their Santa Maria chicken, or the buffalo wings? Guys, they have a really delicious menu and lots of delicious options to try. So come on by to Santa Maria Restaurant. And guess what? We have a special promo happening. So right now, if you mention that you heard this ad on The Music Game, you get a free special chicken fried rice or chicken chow mein with the purchase of $40 or more. So come on in, mention that you heard it first on The Music Game, and make sure to take full advantage of this awesome promotion. And once again, thank you, Dushant, Sarita, and Davin. You guys always do such an exceptional job, and thank you, Santa Maria, for being this week's sponsor of The Music Game. रतिया में दुला के मौसी भूल गई करके पत्ता करार समझी बरबार तोरे बहनिया बोझे चले बता रतिया में दुला के मौसी भूल गई करके पत्ता करार समझी बरबार रतिया में दुला के मौसी भूला up, y'all? It's your girl in the Chica coming at you live and direct from the 6. On today's show, I'll be featuring one of our international Chutney Soca monarchs. And guess what, guys? He's won twice. I am pleased to welcome Nishard M to the Music Game, everyone. Welcome, Nishard.
Hi, Linda. Thank you so much. Hi to everybody on the Music Game. It's a pleasure to be here. Nice to be here.
Thank you. And now, Nishard, before we begin, I'd like to start off by saying thank you for being a very special guest on our show. And I'm so excited for everyone to learn more about you and your awesome career so far.
Oh, thank you so much. It's a pleasure for me to be here, to be able to chat with you and for people to get to know me a little bit more in depth and probably get a chance to find out some things they didn't know, you know, who knows?
Ooh, exciting. That's what we're all
about.
Yeah,
of course. Mm-hmm.
Perfect. Awesome. Now, Nishard, tell us, how did you get into the music industry?
You know, to be quite honest with you, getting into the formal part of the music industry was something that I really didn't have any intention of doing in my early days. Music was just something that came naturally to me. I started singing back when I was like 7 years old. Even before that, I started playing around with the piano and keyboards. I always had a genuine interest and love for musical instruments and just for singing in general. I actually started singing when I was in primary school. I believe I would have been like in standard two at the Avocat Vedic School in Trinidad. So at that time, I would have been probably, let's see, if I was in standard two, I would have been like 7 years old, 6 or 7 years old.
Okay.
And back in those days, we had the Children of Mastana competition. Well, Mastana Bahar is a competition, for those of you who may not know. It's basically a staple in East Indian culture in Trinidad and Tobago. It's a program that's been around for many, many, many years. And I think all of the successful artists, and not just the successful artists, but I think most of the Indo-Trinidadian artists would have passed through Mastana Bahar at some point in time over the years. And out of Mastana Bahar, there was a competition which evolved called the Children of Mastana. This was back in 1998.
Okay.
And I decided to go audition for this competition. It was the first time I actually was trying to wake up my dad the Sunday morning of the audition, I remember. And they had a party the night before, so they were sleeping really early in the morning after going to bed, not too long before. And I'm trying to wake up my dad to say, I want to go to this audition. I want to go to this audition. And he's like, what are you talking about? You want to go audition? I never hear you sing anything before you want to go audition. I did what any smart 7-year-old would do at that point in time. I went across to my grandmother and I complained to her. she told my grandfather, and he came out in a rage and he woke up my father and he was like, listen, wake up and take the boy right now. So we ended up going to the audition and we got the call that very same evening that I was selected to be among the preliminary contestants. You know, it was really exciting for me. The year after that, I actually went on to reach the finals of the same competition, and I won the People's Choice, which back then was a Super Nintendo and a TV. This is when the Super Nintendo just came out, so I cannot even explain to you how excited I was at 8 years old for Nintendo and a TV. Like, I couldn't sleep for like for nights upon nights after getting it. I'm just giving you a little bit of the backstory, but to answer your question in a more direct way, to be honest, I really didn't choose the music industry. I think music really chose me. It might sound cliche, but it really was never the intention for me. I had no dream of becoming a singer when I was younger or anything like that. It was just something that I had a natural love for. Pursuing music never really had an end goal for me. It was never with the intention of becoming an artist or joining a band or anything like that. It was just something that really brought me a lot of joy and a lot of relaxation. And for the majority of my early years, I spent my time just, you know, enjoying music, not really thinking about the industry itself, until probably my later days of being in Triveni. Well, I mean, joining bands, I guess, would automatically kind of put you in that light of being in the industry, quote unquote. But
right.
In terms of really getting focused about it and deciding to dedicate a lot more time and effort and energy towards it, it's something that I only really decided to do, I would say, maybe about 6 years ago.
Yeah.
About 5 or 6 years ago. And at that point in time, I was actually working full time at TN Tech. I had a really good job there, permanent job and everything. And I just, one day I said, you know what? I need to choose one. Is that I'm going to choose, if I want to go into music full time, it needs to be the only thing I'm focused on. I don't want it to be a side thing. And I left my full time job and I've been doing music full time ever since. This would have been maybe about 4 years ago.
A lot has happened in 4 years, because
You've been touring the world.
Yeah, well, you know, thankfully, being a part of Triveni over the years, I was actually a part of Triveni from, I think, maybe around 2007 for about 9 years. So over that period of time, I mean, I would have had a chance to tour extensively with them, and then breaking out and starting to do my own solo thing, it started to open up, you know, a lot of new doors, and I started to tour as a solo artist, which was a completely different experience. But all in all, you know, it's been fantastic being able to travel to all these different places and seeing people enjoying your music and meeting people who appreciate what you do. It's really, really a blessing.
Where are some of your favorite places that you love performing the most?
I have to say, performing the most. Definitely, I think we definitely have some of the biggest shows in Guyana. Guyana is just, they love their culture in a whole different kind of way. Their appreciation and the way that they embrace Trinidadian artists and our music is really wonderful. It's really amazing. I love going to Guyana. The culture is very similar to ours, and you know, they do a lot of chores as well.
Right.
Similarity. That similarity makes it very easy for us, you know? And apart from that, my first tour with JMC Triveni was actually in Holland. We went to Holland for 2 years back to back. And that was also a fantastic experience doing those shows. Those would be the two that really stand out. I mean, so many places that I've been, but if you ask the question, those are the two places that really come to mind. Before anywhere else. Yeah.
For sure. And that's really good to know. I didn't know that they had such a huge presence in Holland.
Yeah, actually, there are a lot of Guyanese and a lot of Surinamese people who live in Holland. Trinidadian artists have been frequent in Holland, I would say, probably for the last 10, 15 years or so. Within the last few years, it's kind of slowed down a little bit. But yeah, they love our music. They love that special and unique flavor that we bring to some of these songs that they're already familiar with. And, getting a chance to go there and perform for people who, some of them don't even speak English, you know? And, they're so amazed. I remember that there's this one show that we did, in Holland that featured Brian McKnight as one of the main performers of the night. And, I was at this huge hall in Holland, and, it was like three or four huge halls in one complex. So there were like three or four stages. And when we hit that stage in this huge complex, like literally every corner that your eye could see, it was people were just packed inside and they were just ready to party. It was really mind blowing. I mean, to be in a completely different part of the world at that early in my career in terms of band music, it really blew my mind. It blew my mind. And it was phenomenal. It really was.
What exactly do you enjoy the most about performances?
To be honest with you, like I said, the reason that I got into music in the first place was because it really brings a sense of genuine joy and relaxation for me. And for the people who know me personally off stage, like I would think I'm a pretty reserved person, you know, outside of my career, like in my personal life. And I feel like being on stage is when I feel like myself. That's when I really feel most like myself. That's when I feel most comfortable. And it's when I feel like I really have a chance to express who I am as a person, you know? And being off stage, I mean, it feels like just time that I'm killing waiting to be on stage again, you know? And, you know, coming up over the years and starting to write my own music and now I'm getting a little more involved in producing and stuff and seeing people singing along to songs that you wrote and you produced, and it's just a really joyous feeling. And when people come up to you after shows, and I mean, they really love what you do, they really appreciate what you do, and, you know, they're so happy, and you're able to bring smiles to so many people's faces. I think that really is a wonderful feeling for me. Being able to make so many people happy through music, it's wonderful, really wonderful.
Talking about your music, your music is predominantly chutney music, and for those of our listeners not familiar with the genre, can you tell us a bit about your music and what exactly is chutney music?
So when I started singing, I was strictly doing Bollywood music. I had, like I said, no intention of no intention of nurturing a musical career and trying to expand and grow and that kind of thing. It was just me doing what I love. And for the first few years of my career in bands and stuff, I did only Bollywood music. While I was in Triveni, I mean, we had a chance to do many, many different types of shows for many different types of audiences. And they were really the band that coined the term crossover. So it threw me kind of into this light where I was exposed to so many other elements of the culture now outside of Bollywood that it just felt like a really natural transition now to get into the Chutney Soca, to get into Soca and that kind of thing. For people who are not so familiar with Chutney music actually started off as with women singing wedding songs. That's actually to my knowledge, I stand to be corrected. I'm not professing to be an expert on Chutney music or anything, so don't go and quote me and say Nishad MC. But from my understanding, yeah, I believe that's where it started. And obviously it would have started with Hindi lyrics. And
right.
When our forefathers came to Trinidad and the Fatah Razak and all that, my great grandfather would have been one of the indentured laborers that came to Trinidad and the Fatah Razak, my great grandfather. And they obviously spoke Hindi. And as the generations came along afterwards, there was this bit of a language barrier, because people like myself, people like my dad, we don't speak any Hindi. My grandmother speaks Hindi to a point. I mean, she still understands and she's able to, you know, she could sit down and watch a ZTV and know what they're saying without reading the subtitles. I think because of that language barrier, because Trinidad is such, I mean, we're such a small country and the culture is so intertwined, it was only natural for the Chutney music and the foundation, Dantal and Dolak, to start fusing with the other elements of the calypso and the steel pan and that kind of thing. And that's basically how Chutney Soca was born. So Soca music, as defined by Ras Shotiai, was a mixture of the East Indian and the African elements in terms of the rhythmic structures. So East Indian music has a particular sound when it comes to the rhythm, and the African drums and that kind of thing, they have a particular sound. So Ras Shotiai, okay, when he created Soca music, his vision was to bridge the gap between the Indians and Africans at that point in time in history. And he brought these two rhythms together, and that is where Soca music was born. And when that now became fused with the East Indian elements that we knew as Chutney, with the Hindi lyrics, the harmonium, the dancehall, the dolak, and that kind of thing, that's how it became Chutney Soca. It's something that we, the younger artists like myself, I mean, it's a lot easier for us to be able to connect with Chutney Soca, because the majority of us don't speak Hindi. So, you know, right, we can't exactly sit down and write a Hindi traditional Chutney type sounding song by ourselves, you know, without getting the assistance or help from somebody who speaks the language and that kind of thing. So in terms of my music, out of the Bollywood, I would have started to dabble in Chutney Soca back in around 2010, 2011, somewhere around there. The first Chutney song that I ever did was actually Tequila, When by Diva, Right Down in Sawa. that was the first Chutney song that I ever did. And to be honest with you, it wasn't even a decision that was mine. I was a part of the Triveni, like I said, at that time. And Cappy called me and he was like, you know, Shad, I have a song for you to sing. And I was like, all right, well, no problem. And we just went into the studio. And the song was Tequila, which was actually written by him. And the year in 2012 is when I wrote Totin Feelings. That would have been the first Chutney Soca song that I wrote by myself. And I also co-produced with Rishi Mahatu. Also Totin Feelings, I did other songs like Another Girl Again. Then I did Mami Say, Mischief Maker, and all these other songs coming up along the years. And while I did that, I still continue to dabble in the Bollywood music as well. And I released my first Soca track 2 years ago. And now in 2020, since we found ourselves in this very strange situation of this pandemic, it's given me a lot of time. And I've actually been focusing a lot more time and energy on the Soca side of things as well. So that's something to look out for in the future.
Yes.
From Nishadam Soca to the world.
That is so exciting, Nishad.
Oh, yes. Yeah, it is. It is. Trust me. It's really, really, really good quality music. I mean, I always try to uphold a certain quality when it comes to everything that I do, from the performances to the songs to the culture up to the concerts to even the interviews. I mean, whatever it is I do, I try to represent our genre in the best possible way that I can. And I'm really excited to be able to put out some soca music as well, man. So Yeah.
Okay. Excited. Looking forward to that.
Same, same.
I mean, I've seen you perform from here to Florida and back. I've personally never ventured out of North America yet.
Right.
And your shows are always so, so much fun. You're just an amazing, amazing performer. Everyone's dancing. Not one person is sitting down. Everyone is singing, dancing. So you are the true definition of an entertainer.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate that. It feels so heartwarming to hear you say that. And, you know, that's something that I've really learned over the years. It comes with experience, the ability to not just be able to go on stage and sing a song. I mean, we have a lot of fantastic singers. The best singers in the world, Linda, are the people who we have no idea they even exist. There are people who sing on the side of the road and stuff who we don't even know about. So it's not just about going on stage and singing, but it's about that ability to connect with people. And
for sure.
Yeah, that's something that I've really learned and I've been trying to master over the years, the ability to you know, just make people happy, like I say, to be able to go on stage and show them a good time, to forget all their stresses of the world, even if it's just for an hour, for 2 hours, whatever the case is, you know, people come out to have a good time. And yeah. I'm just glad that we've been, it's been so well received. Like you said, you know, all the shows that you've had a chance to attend, you would see that, you know, people, they genuinely love what we do. They genuinely love my music. That is something I'm eternally grateful for. And, you know, just to touch on what we were speaking on previously, when I perform live, I mean, I do a very wide, my repertoire is very wide. Sorry, it's not just Bollywood. It's not just soca, chutney. I do a little bit of everything from reggae to dancehall to hip-hop to pop, R&B. I mean, you name it. Like, I do a little bit of everything. So, like you mentioned, you would have gotten a chance to witness a few of our performances, like when we travel and stuff. And, you know, people genuinely enjoy what we do. They're happy when they come out and they see us perform. We are able to really show people a good time.
Mm-hmm.
And what I was mentioning is that, just to touch on what we were speaking on previously a little bit, when I perform live, my repertoire is very wide in the sense that I do a lot of different genres. Not just Bollywood, not just soca, but I do a lot of hip-hop, reggae, dancehall, I mean, R&B, pop, whatever it is. Like, I've always loved challenging myself and stepping outside of my boundaries in order to really learn who I am as an artist.
Right.
And that transition into doing music outside of Bollywood and chutney soca is just something that I feel is very natural for me, because I've been performing all these things for years. So in terms of having some of that type of music under my belt, it's something that I've really been excited about. So I'm happy to finally be able to pursue that. And it's not just soca. I mean, I have some upcoming work with some producers out in Houston as well. Some R&B stuff that's really, really fantastic. And yeah.
Exciting.
And then
okay.
I mean, I have my own studio as well now, for the past couple of years. So I have a lot of stuff that's going to be coming out that is actually produced fully by Nishad M as well. So I'm really excited about that. Yeah.
Huge congrats. That's big.
Thank you.
That's big. Wow.
Thank you so much.
All right. And now, over the years, you've produced quite a few tracks over the years. What would you say are some of your faves and why?
In terms of my favorites, the songs that I would say are my favorites along the years, one of my favorite chutney soca tracks was Another Girl Again.
Okay.
There was something about, anytime they see me with somebody, they say I with another girl again.
Yep.
There was just something about that track that I really, really loved. I had so much fun producing it.
Mm-hmm.
And it came at a point in time in my career where I was now trying to start to write original melodies for the first time.
Okay.
So Another Girl Again, Toten Feelings would have been the first chutney soca song, the first original chutney soca song that I did. And it's actually a fully original melody, original composition, everything. And Another Girl Again would have been the second song. And I mean, I had so much fun doing the track. I wouldn't say it's probably one of my more popular songs. There are a lot of people who probably don't even know the song exists. So go and check it up. I think it should be on YouTube, Another Girl Again, Nishad M, so back in the day. But that was one of my favorites. In terms of recent time, I think everybody who is anybody who loves chutney music in any form or fashion, I've never met a person who didn't love Retia for some reason.
Yep, that's it.
This song, people just go nuts for this song. I mean, even up until now when I perform, like, no matter what part of the world that I travel, it could be the most reserved, most sit-down crowd, people in tuxedo jacket and tie. When mm-hmm. Razzia comes on, people just lose it. Like, yep. They just get up and they start to dance. And, you know, I would think that it's something that would have faded away because Razzia is probably about maybe five years old now, maybe.
Yes.
Five or 6 years old. Yeah, so it's been around for a fair amount of time. But somehow, I mean, the reaction and the love for that song has just kept on growing. I think it also, it kind of started a little bit of a trend back then where people started to do a lot more songs with the intention of creating that kind of sound. Even my producer back then, who would have been Rishi Mahatu, he said, you know, after that, people kept coming to him saying, yo, Rishi, I want a Razzia, I want a Razzia, I want to make a song like Razzia, you know?
Wow.
And I'm so thankful. And to be quite honest with you, Linda, Razzia was one of the songs that it was a kind of by the way, you know?
Wow.
It was never... Yeah, it was, and I'll tell you how this came about. Rishi Mahatu had a rhythm that he was working on.
Okay.
So the Razzia, the music for Razzia actually came out as a rhythm. There are two or three other songs on it. And we were in Guyana. We were going to do a show in Guyana, and I was in the bus with Stinky.
Shout out Master Stinky Salim!
Master Salim, Stinky, well, I know Stinky for so many years. So he said to me, he was like, you know, I think he went to some wedding or something and he heard this song and he was like, I heard this song by Shara, and this song, from the time I heard it, you were the first person who came to mind, and he was the one who actually suggested the idea of doing it. And
wow.
I listened to it and I thought to myself, okay, well, this is cool. And when I got into studio with Rishi Mahatu is when we started to, you know, make all the little adjustments and tweaks and really add that little Shara and flavor to the music and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I mean, when the song came out, from the minute it came out, people just, they started loving it immediately. And that's something that really doesn't happen very often, in the sense that you put out a song and everybody just, you know, immediately falls in love with it.
Yeah.
So it just goes to show that, you know, I have so many other songs, especially when it comes around to Chutney Soka, Monarch and that kind of thing, that we put so much time and energy and effort into. And it doesn't really manifest in the same way like a Razzia. It just goes to show the unpredictability of the music industry generally.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's just Razzia is one of those tracks that I had so much fun with producing it together with Rishi Mahatu, who of course is such a musical genius. So I must take a few seconds to acknowledge Rishi Mahatu. He's done a lot for me musically over my career in terms of my productions and stuff. I've learned a lot from him as well. When it comes to producing, just by, you know, being in studio with him and observing how he does what he does,
mm-hmm.
You know, I've been able to kind of start honing on my own production skills. Apart from that, recently I also had a lot of fun doing Rula. Rula is a song that has been really well received, especially by ladies. Why, for some reason, ladies really love Rula.
Okay.
Yeah, so I think so far those would be my top three.
Okay, and to be honest, I can't picture you doing a show, whether it's a picnic, whether it's a concert, whether it's for New Year's, without doing Razzia. I personally can't. I think there would be problems with the audience.
Yeah, you know, and it's true. People really look forward to that song. But you know, yeah. What? I'll tell you why Razzia opened up a lot of doors to me. It wasn't just about the song itself, but it's about that opportunity that it created for people to start seeing Nishad M on stage.
Right.
So, you know, as far as the song goes, yes, people loved it. But then when I started going out and performing, people would come up to me and they'd be like, boy, like, where did you come from? Like, how have we not heard about you before?
Yeah.
You know? And people started to pay a lot more attention. And then, you know, I guess that's where it really took off in terms of touring as a solo artist and really developing the solo side of my career.
Yes, I really feel like that was your breakout track, that when you hear Razzia, that's the shard, that's yeah. the track.
Yeah.
All right. And now, on that same topic of your music, let's talk a little bit about your accomplishments. You've won 2-time Chutney Soka Monarch, which is one of the most prestigious titles in the West Indian community. And for those of our listeners not familiar with this, Nishard will be explaining what exactly is the Chutney Soka Monarch.
So the Chutney Soka Monarch is one of the staple events in Trinidad and Tobago culture. It's been around last year. Would have, well, actually not last year, we're in 2020. So mm-hmm. this year would have been the 25th anniversary. It's actually been around for 25 years. Wow. The very first Chutney Soca Monarch was actually held in Skinner Park. And they always say this at the meetings and stuff. Because, you know, it's always nice to acknowledge how far it's come over the years. But the first, very first Chutney Soca Monarch was on a barrel stage with the, you know, the plywood flooring mm-hmm. and a tent on top of it. And, you know, over the years, it's really grown. It's really expanded. It's provided a platform for Chutney Soca music to reach the world. And now it's grown into something that is really a phenomenal production. I think, personally, I would say it is one of the grandest, definitely one of the top two in terms of grand productions in Trinidad and Tobago for Carnival. I mean, mm-hmm. artists really go all out on that night. And for me, I've been in the Chutney Soca Monarch for a few years. The first year that I entered would have been 2013. Actually, 2012, I entered with Totin Feelings, but I did not make the finals.
Okay.
And in 2013 would have been the first time that I made the finals with Mami C. I have one to cook. I have one to wash. So that was my first time in the finals.
Okay.
And that year I actually placed fifth. Then the year after that, after placing fifth, I reached the finals again with Mischief Maker. I would have placed third then. Mm-hmm. After Mischief Maker would have been Therapy. Therapy, I placed second. After Therapy was Mr. Take Your Girl. We had a little bit of an off year that year. I came like fourth or something that year. Fourth. And then in 2018 and 2019 would have been when I won together with Nival.
Yes.
So, I mean, I've been in the competition for a few years, but it's been mostly an upward trajectory for me personally, apart from being able to do it together with another artist. But for me, it's just something personally that I wanted to tick off on my checklist mm-hmm. in terms of accomplishments. So I'm thankful that I was able to achieve it. It's I think we were able to make a really positive impact. The Chutney Soca Monarch win, it was really, well, not it, but they were really two very special victories in the sense of what it was able to do for Chutney Soca music. It went very far beyond just the victory on the night. For the very first time, we had Carry Festa brand ambassadors who were Chutney Soca artists. And, you know, to be able to represent on that sort of a platform where the rest of the Caribbean and the rest of the world is really paying attention. It was phenomenal. So, you know, Chutney Soca Monarch, thankfully now I'm able to take it off my, my list, like I've said. So yeah, we move on to bigger and better things.
Again, congratulations on that huge win last year. That was phenomenal.
Thank you. Thank you.
And I absolutely love the fact that you guys brought the competition to Toronto. Big up Amit from Caribbean Weekly for bringing this competition here to Toronto. So it's been branching off to the various, outside of Trinidad, which is awesome because it gives so much more opportunities for other upcoming Chutney singers.
Yeah, well, I mean, kudos to Amit Gosai and to George Singh and to everyone who made it happen. It's nice to see Chutney Soca Monarch happening outside of Trinidad and Tobago. It's a nice expansion for the brand, mm-hmm. For the culture. I mean, we have so many talented artists out in North America now who have been recording really wonderful tracks, who've been making significant progress in their careers and stuff. So I think it's a nice opportunity for them as well to be able to feel a little bit more comfortable in instead of having to come to Trinidad and be somewhere where you feel like it's really not your playground because, you know, you feel like everyone else has a home advantage and you're coming from abroad.
Right.
So I think it was a nice opportunity for the North American artists. That was nice for the brand. So, we had a chance to perform as guest artists on. So, nice.
Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Talking a bit about Carry Fest.
It's actually Carry Festa. So it's Carry Festa is an abbreviation for the Caribbean Festival of Arts.
Now you are one of the ambassadors. Can you tell us a bit about that?
Yeah. So this was actually really, really significant for me. It's one of the accomplishments that I hold on to really daily. And Cari Festa is like I said, a festival that happens every 2 years, and it goes from country to country within the CARICOM. So this, not this year, last year would have been Cari Festa 14. Trinidad and Tobago would have been the host country. And when I tell you the production that was put on was something that was out of this world, I think it should be available on YouTube and other media platforms. But if you haven't had a chance to go and check out like the opening ceremony and stuff from Cari Festa, it was something that was really, really heavily invested into. And while Trinidad was the host country, the government would have appointed 5 brand ambassadors basically to represent Cari Festa as Trinidad and Tobago. And those ambassadors were Marshall Montano, Nyla Blackmon, Voice, Nival, and myself. So, you know, to be able to have Chutney Soca artists on this platform, together with the Soca artists, together with the rest of the Caribbean, it was a significant accomplishment, not just personally, but I think for Chutney Soca music as well, that level of acknowledgement. To have 2 brand ambassadors out of 5, you know, who are there to represent a festival that is of such a great magnitude. It was very humbling, and it was a great honor at the same time. So it's something that I was really thankful for. And, you know, we just once again say thanks to the government and the Ministry of Tourism, Culture and the Arts for really having that faith in us and for believing in the product that we put forward.
Okay, that's excellent. Mm-hmm. And now, how long does that event typically last for?
It actually lasted for 14 days. So there were many, many different events, 2-3 events sometimes happening over on the same day at different venues. And we had participants from the entire Caribbean, from the entire CARICOM, coming and bringing their culture, bringing their art forms and the things that are native to their islands. And, you know, it was basically a chance to be able to experience each other, to experience each other's culture and to get that chance to find that our differences really make us unique. And the festival itself, like I said, the production was really, really spectacular, really spectacular. So, it was just fantastic to be able to represent on that scale. So kudos again. Cari Festa was out of this world.
For our listeners, you want to check out Cari Festa? Check out Nishard's YouTube page. I'm sure they should have some really cool videos posted there.
Yeah, definitely. And you know, just to mention, for Cari Festa itself, the 14 days of celebration would have culminated in a huge Island Beats concert, which would have featured Shaggy and Marshall Montano and a bunch of other Caribbean artists. It was a really, really fantastic show. So, you know, feel free to check that out as well on YouTube, the Island Beats concert. Yeah.
And so typically with Cari Festa, it's the Caribbean countries that are involved in this.
Yes, definitely. It's the Caribbean. Caribbean countries coming together.
Okay.
Yeah.
Talk about instruments. Yeah. Do you play any instruments? And if there are instruments that you're interested in learning for the future?
So my very favorite toy when I was growing up as a kid was the baby piano. There was a piano that came back in the day. Every other kid probably had one. It was made of wood. The keys were it was all wooden, of course. And the black notes, there weren't actually any black notes on the piano itself. The black notes were drawn onto the white notes. So you only had the white notes, basically. But this, growing up, for some reason, I really, really loved playing with this piano. And I think that's where my natural love for keyboards and for pianos came. When I was 8 years old, I actually had the chance to tour for the very first time for the Mother's Day Spectacular, which happened in Calypso City. At that time, I would have been the youngest artist out of, I think, the Caribbean, maybe, to perform in New York City, to tour out of Trinidad and that kind of thing. And when I went to that show, I actually used my payments from that show to buy myself my first keyboard. And and I brought it back home with me, and that's how I started playing the keyboards and stuff. And I'm basically a self-taught keyboardist. So I play the keyboards. Okay. I've been playing, I used to play Dolak and stuff back when I used to go to the temple with my grandmother, you know, doing Sunday morning service and that kind of thing. So I play Dolak as well. I play a little bit of tabla. I absolutely adore guitar. I would love to be able to play guitar at some point in time in the future. It's something I would love to play. Guitar and bass.
Okay.
And, I mean, I could do other things on the drums too. I ain't no excellent or nothing, but I have a little rhythm in me, you know?
You have a lot of rhythm in you. That's for sure. I mean, hey, right now with the whole pandemic, it's been, you know, one of those years that it gave us extra time back to do these types of things that we wanted to do, but just didn't find the time.
Well, you know what? For me, I discovered that I actually make the best salmon mashed potatoes and baked beans that I've had in a long time. I'm apparently an awesome chef, and it was just hidden, waiting to come out in the pandemic.
Hey, that's a really good skill to find.
I know, right? So, I mean, we need to feed ourselves, right? No matter what happens.
Yes.
We could shut down, but I can't shut down my appetite. When I'm hungry, I need to eat.
Those are facts.
Exactly.
Exactly. What do you think are the unique skills that you have that's really helped you become such an amazing artiste? I know in Trinidad, you guys, the performers are considered artistes. You're not just an artist.
Yeah, of course.
So what do you think?
I want to throw a question back to you, Linda, just out of curiosity.
Yeah, sure.
If you were to think about a singer, someone who's a singer, what do you think would be the most unique thing about, well, not unique, but what do you think is the most important skill or the most important asset that they should have to be able to be a singer?
To be honest, they need to be able to keep a rhythm. They need to be able to stay on beat. They need to be able to actually be able to sing.
And you know what? You actually hit the nail on the head in all ways, and I'll tell you why. Because the average person might think that as a singer, the most important thing is your ability to sing, which is true to a point, but as a singer, the most important thing is actually your ability to hear. And your ears,
yes,
your ears are more crucial, I think, personally. Again, I ain't no expert. I'm just speaking on my personal experience, but I think your ears are the most crucial tool that you have as a musician, because you can have the greatest voice in the world. You can have the most soothing tone and beautiful melody and all that, but unless, like you said, unless you're able to hear and keep timing and keep tone and pitch and that kind of thing, then you're really going to be in no man's land. So for me personally, most of my musical skills, I have to say, are self-taught, or I've just learned, you know, from observing other people. I don't really have any formal musical training. I've learned to play, I've learned to write, produce, sing, everything on my own. But I think for me, the most significant thing has been that God has really blessed me with two fantastic ears. Like, my ear for music is, and I'm not saying this in any kind of like boastful way, but it's phenomenal. Like, the way that I'm able to dissect music and hear things, it's really, I feel like it really is a God-given talent. Sorry. So, in terms of, if thinking about a specific thing that really stands out for me personally, I would say it's my ears, my ability to hear, and that natural ear for music.
And I mean, that also really helps.
It does.
On the production side.
Oh yeah, it does, because you see, the thing is that at the end of the day, as producers, we aren't producing songs for other producers to listen to. We're producing songs for the average person to listen to, who isn't necessarily a musical genius, or, you know, people just want to party, people wouldn't want to just vibe. And it's important to be able to have that aspect and that perception of a listener as well when you are producing music, you know? So, yeah, you're right.
What are typically some of the struggles that artists generally face, and why?
The music industry is a very unique industry, because when you really think about it, there's no prerequisite to being an artiste. It's not like you have to go to school and get a certificate, or you need a diploma, or you need to go to an interview. Like, literally anybody could wake up one day and decide, hey, you know what? I feel like I want to be an artist today, you know?
And hit
up a producer, hit up a writer, get a song done, go in a studio, probably not even be able to sing, but get a song done, you know?
Yeah.
And one of the challenges, I think, with as an artist has to be the instability of the music industry. It is so unpredictable. It's something that you really cannot, you can't predict. Like I said earlier, sometimes you would put so much time and effort into doing a song, thinking that, okay, you know what, I'm putting this out and people are really just going to grab onto it because, you know, I put so much love and time and I put my heart into this. And then, you know, you put it out and people are like, yeah, sometimes, you know, And then you do a song sometimes like Ratia, which is a By The Way, and people are like, oh my God, they're so blown away, you know? And
yeah.
It is so unpredictable. And, you know, the music industry itself is a very harsh place, especially when you start making progress and you start aiming to achieve things for yourself personally, and you're trying to reach higher. The higher and higher you go, I mean, the more and more people are going to try to bring you down. You know, it seems, again, sure. It seems cliche, but it's one of the things that comes with, I think that comes with success in any field that that you could be in. But in music in particular, in this type of industry where you depend on people adoring you and people loving you, not just your music, but you as a person, you as an artist, it really shines a different light in the way sometimes that people try to make you look negative or try to you know, cast negative aspersions on you. So that's difficult as well as an artist. And then I think it's also difficult to be in any profession that is a creative one, because creation is something that for me it comes out of nothing. It has to be born from some emotion. It has to be born from some thought. It has to be born from some intention. It has to come from something. And that that ability to create, you really have to be in a specific frame of mind, in a specific place mentally, to be able to put out your best. And sometimes, you know, you might sit down as an artist and you'll say, okay, you know what? Today is whatever day. We say today is Wednesday, just for example. Today is Wednesday. Friday night, I'm going to record a song. I'm going to make an appointment. I'm going to go in the studio and I'm going to put out some vocals. But then Friday night comes around and you're not feeling the vibe. Like, you know, it's something it's something that I've experienced personally as an artist. It's not always easy to just immediately get into that frame of mind when it comes to writing, when it comes to producing and that kind of thing. Now, when it comes to stage is a different kind of thing. From the time you hit the stage and that music hits you and people are there and the energy and the love and the enthusiasm, I mean, it immediately gets you going. But in terms of the other aspect of your career, which is the sitting down at home and writing and stuff, which is basically what we've all been stuck doing for the majority of this year, you can't always be in a good mood. I mean, at the end of the day, creatives are people just like everybody else. We have moods, we have emotions, we have everything. And, you know, with all that said, it does come down to the individual as an artist, to find a way to channel whatever you are going through. And, you know, put it into music if it is that you're a musician or whatever. And that's something I've been working on, because sometimes people just stuck on, you know, wanting to do happy music. But at the end of the day, people aren't just always happy. Artists aren't just always happy. So you can't always just want to do happy music. Yes, you want to make people happy. But as an artist, I think one of the important factors in finding yourself is experiencing other emotions through your music, not just the happiness, but the sadness, or the heartbreak, or the you know, it could be whatever emotion it is you are going through, to be able to channel that into song, because at the end of the day, it's something that somebody else is going through as well, you know.
Right.
So these are all challenges I think that we face as artists. The music industry itself is just sometimes a really harsh place. Just the environment is a very harsh place. But at the end of the day, it's all up to you to keep focused and to be able to take criticism. I think that's a very important tool as an artist, to be able to take constructive criticism.
Oh, for sure. That's extremely important. Yeah. And, you know, the one thing I was going to mention was, generally, though, with the chutney soca type music, it's typically upbeat, very festive, very happy, almost like party music.
Yeah. And, you know, that's a reflection of who we are as Trinidad and Tobago people. Like when you think about Trini, you think about carnival, you think about party. So sport if in Guyana. a lot of the music is produced with that in mind. Just geared towards happiness and festivity and carnival, party and celebration, that kind of thing. I mean, it has its own merits, obviously. I mean, we all love soca music. A lot of people love chutney. I won't say we all love chutney. A lot of people love chutney. It's all good. At the end of the day, it's our culture. We love it, and we embrace it, and we do it our way.
Very well said. And now, you touched upon something interesting. You just mentioned, not everyone embraces chutney music. I personally love chutney music. Yeah. I am the most whitewashed, Canadian Guyanese girl on the planet, and I love it. Mind you, I cannot pronounce these words. That's why I said the part, the Ratia part. But if I have to start getting into the Dillahad, yeah, I will start butchering words. So it's a genre that it does have a lot of the Hindi component associated with, yeah, it. And where do you see it going? Because, you know, compared to other genres, like let's just say, for example, pop music, it's still not as mainstream as other genres, even though it's been around for thousands of years, yeah, now.
There's so many mixed opinions when it comes to this subject, and this, mm-hmm, is one, this is a subject that's very touchy for a lot of artists, for a lot of people who are around Chutney Soka. But, you know, as again, I speak, I don't speak for anyone else, I speak personally from my experience. I see a huge disconnect with a portion of especially the younger generation and the modern version of what we call Chutney Soka. Okay, so what we were speaking about earlier in terms of Chutney starting off with Hindi lyrics and then evolving into,
yes,
Chutney Soka. Chutney music is a very unique art form in the sense that we have chutney, but chutney is like a main tree. And then we have all these other branches that come off of this main tree, because we have like the kind of groovy type chutney songs, then you have the traditional chutney, then you have chutney soca, then you have like these power chutney songs. Like, it's not just, it's difficult to put a strict definition on chutney.
Okay.
Yeah. And I think that because of that language barrier between us and the generations before us, it was inevitable for chutney to have to go through a sort of a transitional phase in terms of finding itself. And,
okay,
you know, for me, one of the things that's really become popular, and when I say popular, it's become popular to the point where it is just, it's thought of as being the norm in Chutney Soka, has been just, you know, reusing the Bollywood melodies and, you know, putting new lyrics to them and putting them out as Chutney Soka music. There are a lot of people who love that type of music. And I'm not to take anything away from, I think it has its time and its place. This is something that I've said over the years, because a lot of people, when I give my opinion on this subject, a lot of people seem to take offense to it, because they think that Nishad M always criticizing Bollini and talking about teeth and melody and this kind of thing. It's not a matter of that. It's no, and you know what? We have right. this conversation, Linda, and I'm giving it to you straight as it is, yes. straight as it is. You know, I hope that nobody feels offended by what I say, but I'm giving it to you straight as it is. And,
right.
You know, a lot of the time, chutney soka, chutney music is a music that finds a difficult time in commanding the same kind of respect as the other genres. Like even with soka music, which is the easiest thing to compare it to, because they both come out of Trinidad, you know?
Right.
I mean, soka music is leaps and bounds music. I mean, there are a lot of different factors that go into that. But back to what we were saying in terms of the Bollywood melody and stuff, I think it's important for us to start doing a lot more original chutney soka music, because yes. we need to have an identity of our own. And at the end of the day, yes, the Bollywood melodies is an identity, but it's not one of our own. It's an identity that comes off of an already existing billion-dollar industry, which is the Bollywood industry. And nobody's saying don't do a Bollywood melody here and there, or, you know, you want to do a Bollywood song off and on, use a melody or whatever. Because it does happen, like people who... The very vocal advocates of Bollywood melodies, they one of their biggest arguments is that, well, it happens in every other genre, and well, that is what is work, that is what people want. But the reality right. of it is that, yes, it happens in other genres where people would borrow an existing melody, but it doesn't form the definition of what that genre is. It happens as a one-off. There is no, I personally do not know of any genre that where 95% of the songs are recycled melodies from another genre. To me, right. I think it's important for us to be able to mature out of that phase in order for us to be taken seriously as a genre. You know, I want to give you an example, and I've thought about many ways to be able to explain this to people, because people seem to not get what I'm saying. A lot of people seem to think, well, who cares? I mean, people like it. They just want to hear, they have a two drink in their head. They just want to hear a nice rhythm and they dance into whatever you're singing. It could be rum, it could be horn, it could be woman, it could be a car, it could be a boat, whatever, you know? But,
yeah.
The way that I think about it, let's just use a little bit of a metaphor, an analogy here for a little bit. Are you vegetarian by chance?
I'm not, actually, no. But
it might seem like a strange question, but do you like fried chicken? Of course
I
like fried chicken, because everybody, I think, who's not vegetarian, everybody who loves, who eats meat loves fried chicken, right? Mm-hmm. I think that's, that we can safely say that's a fact. Now, we eat fried chicken and everybody might like it, but does that make it good for your health?
Absolutely not.
So the, you can't say, well, I'm giving somebody something and I'm giving it to them because they like it. They like the taste of it. They like the flavor. They like whatever it is they like about it. But turn around and say that I care about your health at the same time. And this is what we're doing. This is what we're doing with the Bollywood Melodies. We're saying, well, we're giving this to people because they like it. They like the flavor. They like how it, they like how it tastes and whatever. But you can't profess to be a lover of the culture and a lover of chutney soca music if this is all that you are doing. Nobody's saying don't do it at all, but we have to get some original chutney soca songs in the mix as well, not just the recycled melodies. So to me, Bollywood Melodies is like the fried chicken of the chutney soca industry. It might taste good. Some people fried chicken might taste better than other people fried chicken. But at the same, but at the same time, if you're giving people fried chicken, you can't say that you care about anybody else. So you can't want to be dishing out Bollywood and turning around and saying that you care about chutney soca music, because it just, to me personally, makes no sense.
You know, the part that makes no sense to me is there's no money involved in the music that's being produced, because these are copywritten melodies.
Well, you know, this is the thing, right? 2020 has been such a unique year, because now more than ever, we are seeing the value of being able to diversify your portfolio as an artist and not just have income coming in from performances, but to be able to have original music where you're able to gain royalties and stuff, and you know, that kind of thing. And I'm not saying that, like, I'm not guilty of the same thing, because I don't have a lot of original like soca songs and that kind of thing. I do have a lot of original chutney songs, but the chutney side of the industry has never been it's always been based on cover versions. It started off as being, you know, we started off doing Bollywood covers and that kind of thing. And again, because of the language barrier, we've always found ourselves doing cover versions, songs that already existed. So when it comes to putting out material that's 100% original, that we're able to gain the same types of financial benefits as soca music and that kind of thing, it's something now that I think collectively as an industry, we have to look at. It's no longer just about giving people what they want. People like this, so let me just give them this. And now I do an original song that I work in. You know, it's about looking after the art form and doing what's best for the art form at the same time.
Looking after you guys, because you guys are the ones, day in, day out, making this music, producing this music, and you need to be paid. If 2020 didn't teach us anything, that is one of the biggest learnings of the year, I've noticed, with the whole chutney soca music industry.
You know what? One of the theories that's been around for the longest while has been Darwin's survival of the fittest. And I think that's something that we're going to see during 2020. It's going to boil down to survival of the fittest. Those who are able to evolve and who are able to find, you know, creative new ways to present themselves and to present their product while we still have this whole pandemic going on, those are the ones who are going to be able to make it out successfully on the other side. And I think a lot of people who would have had aspirations of being a musician before, probably finding themselves in difficulty now that the industry has been shut down. And, you know, it's probably going to be difficult to just pick back up whenever things do open back up. It's going to be difficult to just pick back up where you left off. It's going to be like starting over from scratch for a lot of people, you know? But, the only constant, I said this in an article that was published, just yesterday in the daily newspaper here in Trinidad, but, the only constant in life is change, you know? And the entire world is being forced to adapt. I think that musicians and artists and everybody else who's creative, we need to find a way to be able to adapt as well.
Absolutely. Yeah. Now, with that being said, you do have a virtual concert coming up for Diwali. Can you share a little bit about that for our listeners?
Before I even talk about the Diwali concert, which is something that I'm so psyched about, this is actually our third series during the lockdown. We had two really successful virtual concerts before. One was called Shot and Chill, which was basically in the height of the lockdown, like in the midst of when, you know, nobody could gather and that kind of thing. It was really difficult to put on, not being able to rehearse and that kind of thing, but we put on Shot and Chill. The entire video is still available on the Nishadam YouTube channel, so you can feel free to check it out. And then some, a few weeks later, we put on another concert that was called Together the Concert, which featured a really wonderful cast. And, you know, we upped the production in terms of what we were able to do visually, what we were able to do with the cast and that kind of thing. And now, onto your question, this is the evolution of what we started earlier in the year. This is the very first time that ZTV, and I mean, I think everyone knows who ZTV is. ZTV is internationally known. They are a media giant. They are a household name. This is the first time that ZTV is actually partnering with a local artist to put on a series of this type. And the name of it is Diwali Utsav, featuring Nishad M and Friends. And it actually airs live on ZTV from November 5th to the 14th. It airs for nine nights consecutively, for half an hour segments from half 8 to 9. And then on Diwali Day, there's a marathon with the nine episodes being shown back to back. But it's such a phenomenal production in terms of what we are doing. The artists have putting on a really fantastic show. The set and everything that we have planned is really something that's out of this world. So I think it's something that people can definitely look forward to, especially now where we find ourselves celebrating Diwali in this very strange way. You know, for us locally in Trinidad, we are accustomed to going out to Diwali celebrations in the weeks leading up to Diwali. We look forward to going out and lighting diyas and, you know, hearing our favorite local artists, seeing our favorite local bands and that kind of thing. But this year, there isn't going to be any of that. And we thought to ourselves that, you know, I mean, culture is something that belongs to us. Nobody else is going to look after it for us. We are the ones who have to find a way to do it. And that was actually one of the missions behind this whole undertaking. It was to keep this culture alive even during the lockdown. We can't allow Diwali to just pass and just light a few days on the day itself. It was really a tremendous feat to have to put on this show in the middle of a lockdown, from having to get sponsors to come on board in this time where all these companies closing down and this kind of thing. I mean, It was really, really, I can't begin to explain to you. Thankfully, my manager, Vishma, she did a spectacular job handling, you know, the management aspect and that side of things. So kudos to her. And we have what promises to be a really, really fantastic show. People could really look forward to it. So I want to invite you all to, you know, tell your friends and family, look out for it happening on ZTV. It's going to be showing throughout the Caribbean, Guyana, and Suriname. And for those of you like in North America and stuff, it's going to be available on ZTV Caribbean's Facebook page. It's going to be streaming live simultaneously with the episode on TV. So feel free to follow the ZTV Caribbean page again, November 5th to the 14th, every night from 8:30 p.m.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Looking forward to it. And aside from the Diwali show, are there any other upcoming projects or virtual events you'd like for our listeners to know about?
I mean, the way that the entertainment industry has been going, I don't think we need to expand on that. We all know what's been happening. And I think entertainment is probably going to be one of the last industries, if not the last, to really come back on board, whenever that is. Because we literally depend on people, packed crowds and packed venues and shows and that kind of thing to sustain ourselves and to sustain our livelihoods and to sustain, you know, the music. For the foreseeable future, at least, I think everything is going to be virtual, at least for us here locally.
Right.
It seems like everything is going to be virtual. But at the same time, like I said, we want to give our fans, we don't just want to, it's not just a matter of going out and performing because you're an artist. It's also a matter of giving the people who love your music, giving the people who look out and support you and what you do, giving them something to smile about and giving them a little bit of a break from all this madness that we're going through. It's nice to be able to, you know, put on these shows and have people message and call and interacting on the lives and that kind of thing. Really enjoying the music and just, you know, enjoying, like I said, that little break from this crazy year that's 2020. So the short answer to your question, I know I just talk plenty come afar as a politician, but the short answer to your question is yes, we do have a lot of, well, not a lot, but we do have some other virtual events that we have in the making. And the nice thing is that as we've been able to grow these virtual events over the last few editions, we've had a lot more people who've been expressing interest, who want to come on board, who want to be involved, who want to, you know. So I think that as we continue to put on these virtual events, they're going to just continue getting bigger and grander. And better, and people could just really, really look forward to it. So we are doing what we have to do to keep people entertained, and yeah, we all in this together, you know.
Mm-hmm. That's it. That's exactly it. All right. As we wrap up the Nishard, where could our listeners connect with you online?
So right now, the easiest places to find me would be the Nishard M page on Facebook, or you can follow me on Instagram at nishard.m. That's nishard.m. As well as the Nishard M YouTube channel. You're going to find a lot of exclusive content on the Nishard M YouTube channel as well, including the last two virtual concerts, like I mentioned, Shard and Chill and Together the Concert. We actually have a website that's been under construction for a little while, to be quite honest with you. We've just kind of been delaying on putting that out, but nishardm.com is going to be up and running soon as well. I have so much new music that's going to be coming out, Linda. Wow. During this lockdown, to be honest with you, the last song that I've officially released has been Celebration, which was for Shortly Soca Monarch way back earlier in the year. So it's for this entire lockdown, we've been doing these virtual events and keeping people entertained, but I haven't released any new music. And that's because all the new music is sitting here on my computer, and trust me, they're getting ready to go. Sometimes I sit and I listen to these songs, not to sound any kind of way, but I sit and I listen to some of these songs and I'm like, wow, I've really come a long way in terms of a producer, in terms of where I started. I think back about me for the first time sitting on my PC home in my mother and father house trying to put together a track, and to finally be able to be in a position where I could fully put out tracks that are produced by Nishard M, that I've recorded, that I've created for myself. It's a phenomenal mm-hmm. feeling. It's a very accomplishing feeling. It's an accomplished feeling as an individual, and I hope that people will look forward to it. Look out, like I said, follow me on Instagram, on Facebook, subscribe to the channel, and keep in touch so you can know everything that's happening with Nishard M.
Perfect. And your YouTube channel,
of course, the Nishard M YouTube channel. Yeah.
Okay. When should we be expecting some new music from
is
you?
Actually going to be out right after Diwali. Yeah.
Exciting. All right. You know that there's thousands of your fans listening out there. What message do you have for your fans?
You know, first and foremost, I like to say thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you from the bottom of my heart to everyone who has been supporting my career, who has been playing my music, who's been a part of this journey, who follows me on social media, who jams any song that I sing when they have in a backyard line. Whatever it is you do, man, I am so amazingly thankful from the bottom of my heart to everyone who has been a part of this journey with me over all these years. I think now more than ever, the message that I can share to those of you listening is we need to really stay safe, you know. It's not even a musical message. It's a message for us to be really responsible, for us to understand that, you know, we are living through this right now, Linda. And sometimes we don't stop.
Yes.
And pause to really take in the reality of what we are going through. Years from now, they are going to be the same way how we sit down and we watch documentaries about the Spanish flu and about World War and all these things. Years from now, there are going to be people sitting down watching documentaries about 2020 and the coronavirus pandemic. And we are actually living it right now. Years from now, I'm going to have to tell my grandkids, yo, there was a time when we had to go, we couldn't fly nowhere. All the airports were locked down. Planes were grounded. Everybody had to walk around wearing a mask. When you really think about it, it's crazy. But the thing is that we have a chance right now to dictate how this story turns out. We have a chance to actually to write the end of that documentary right now. And that all depends on how we behave as individuals. We need to be responsible. We need to make sure and wear our masks if it is we are going out. We need to avoid the unnecessary gatherings. We need to, you know, make sure and sanitize your hands, make sure and wash your hands, make sure and not touch your face. I think by now everyone knows the specific steps that we need to be doing. But all I'm saying is that we please need to not become complacent, because I know that we've all been going through this for a long time. It's been literally, it's almost been a year, you know, and it's really strange.
Yeah.
And as humans, I mean, obviously, we all feel a little bit antsy and we all a little bit edgy, but we can't allow ourselves to become complacent. So to anyone who's listening, please, please be responsible. I think it's not just for yourself. It's for your parents, for your grandparents, for the elderly, for anybody who might be sick, for your kids, for your spouse, for your family, for everyone. Please just be safe and let us all make it through this together.
Exactly. Very well said, Nishard. Excellent. Now, before we wrap up, any shout outs you want to give? I want to say shout out to Bishma. Thank you, Bishma, for coordinating everything.
Big up to management for always getting the job done.
Yes.
I must say special thank yous to, I always say thank you to God Almighty first in everything that I do. I thank Him for blessing me with the talent and the ability to do what I do. Thank you to my parents. Hopefully they're going to listen to this podcast. But thanks to my parents. I have the two most parents, my brother, my grandmother. Thank you to them so much. I must big up my brethren, Joe, man, out in Toronto. One of my really good friends. Big up to Joe who's listening out there. Thanks to you and Alinda. It's been really refreshing to be able to sit and have a chat with you and to be able to, you know, share a little bit of these things. That some of these things are things that I forget about until people ask you again, you know. It's like some of those things. So
right.
You think back about it and you're like, wow, I forgot that happened. But it's been really fun chatting with you. Thanks again to management. Well, I'm Mr. Boy. Thanks to my sponsors, Detour Stores. We have a really amazing partnership going on. Just thanks to everyone who's listened, who took the time to listen to our chat here, especially to those who made it all the way down to the end and who are hearing this part of it. special thank you to you guys. Look out for brand new music. Make sure and check out Diwali Utsav featuring Nishadem and friends. And once again, stay safe. Thanks to you, Linda.
Oh, thank you. And you know, I'm gonna send this a shout out as well to Joe from here in Toronto. I know exactly who you're talking about, and I'm gonna take it one step further. I'm gonna send a shout out to Marky Ramsawak,
who reminded me,
Linda. I've been listening, Linda. I haven't heard the Shards episode yet, and I said, "Trust me, everyone. I will get to everyone's episode one by one." So thank you, Marky, for reminding me.
I don't know if you know this, Linda, but Marky actually attended the University of the West Indies for a year or two, you know, and his cousin, who is Matthew Ramsawak, is somebody who I went to school, who I went to high school with at Presentation in San Fernando. So I was actually in university around the same time with Matthew and Marky. Marky and I know each other really well. We used to line together and all the time. We party enough times.
Wow.
So yeah, special to him and his whole family, man. Nice to be able to connect with all of them.
Guys, one thing I do have to really say, throughout the years, I've watched Nishad perform so many different shows right from the beginning when Retia came on the market, and the audience just, you know, go crazy. They love the track. But on a personal level, you're such a nice and humble guy, Nishad.
Oh, gosh, Linda. Yeah,
I have to say that.
Here and all this rain that fallen into that day.
I have to call it exactly as is. I mean, I have never once seen you not take a picture with a fan or take the time to say hello to someone. And, you know, I've always seen you really interactive and really take the time to, you know, spend time with your fans and take pictures. And some artists, they don't do that. They were like, sorry, busy, gotta go.
You know what, Linda, at the end of the day, I mean, everyone is their own person. But for me, I think we all on our own paths, but being an artist is a tremendous blessing, because you won't be able to be an artist unless people love what you do. If they don't, then literally you're just a singer. You're not an artist, you know? And I think for me, one of the things that I hold on to is how much of a blessing it is for people to really appreciate what you do. And that's one of the things that really keeps me grounded as an individual. No matter what I do, no matter how much I try to aim for these stars, and no matter what I will achieve in the future and what I may have achieved already, like I always hold on to where I came from. I never forget where I came from. I never forget the people who made me who I am. And, you know, I'm super thankful for that. So to any upcoming artists who might be coming out there, you know, make sure and don't skip any of these steps. We have a lot of people who just attracted to stardom. You know, but make sure and try and keep yourself grounded. Try and remain who you are. Don't change. Don't allow anything to change you in that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. For sure. And well, with that being said, I wish you all the continued success, Nishad. And again, I cannot wait to see you back on
stage. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. And all the best to you.
Fingers crossed.
So thanks once more to you. And thanks again to everybody who's been listening. So until we talk again, everybody stay safe.
Well, guys, that's a wrap. I just want to say thank you guys for tuning in today's show. I'll be leaving you with one of Nishad's newest tracks. So thank you for tuning in. and stay safe, and hopefully you'll be tuning in on another episode of The Music Game. Thank you. बैठे हो कब हो सवेरा रुला के गया सपना मेरा बैठे हो कब हो सवेरा रुला के गया सपना मेरा
of The Music Game is presented by Podgo, providing podcasters with a flat rate for each ad placed, so you always know how much you're going to get when you include an ad from Podgo. Apply today and become a member and immediately be connected with advertisers that fit your audience. That's podgo.co at podgo.co. Thank you, Podgo, for your sponsorship of The Music Game with your host, Linda Chica. Make sure to tune in again next week for another exciting episode of The Music Game with your host, Linda Chica. And that's a wrap, yo.